Okay, good afternoon. This is Monday, April 20th. So welcome everybody to our Python session. Today we're going to look at building in functions and help. Built-in functions and help. And I will start by sharing my desktop again. And I updated the schedule and I did upload the recordings from Friday. So there's a recording here and the audio. So if someone wants to have something to fall asleep to tonight, please go over and listen to and watch the recording and see how it was. I did some spot check. It looked like it was okay. And so I put a recording on here. So I guess that's my way to see if you miss any of these lectures to catch up. Anybody got any questions to begin with?
No, sir.
No, sir. Okay. Like that, put your messages in the chat, which is something I need to pull up now. Where is the chat? Okay, so I got my chat window up and my Zoom and my participants. So, does someone want to volunteer to go over what we did on data types and type conversions from last time? Any volunteers? No one wants to say anything.
We looked at the different types of variables that you can declare, like integers and floats, and ways to save complex numbers.
Yep. So data conversions and data types like floats and integers. So we had that last time. Hopefully everybody can pull up a Jupyter Labs. Everybody has that open. I've opened mine, and today let's use the notebook. Looks like it's going to be better to run through with a notebook on this. So today is built-in functions and help. So how can we use built-in functions? Where can we find out about them? What kind of errors can programs generate? So programs, you know, it's third time writing it, third time documenting it, third time debugging the code. So I want to explain the purpose of the functions, call some built-in functions, show you that, correct nested calls to built-in functions, and then we're going to get in some help to use to display the built-in documentation for some functions. And then we'll get into some syntax errors and name errors and when they occur. So you should always use comments to document your program. So the dollar sign is the way you do a comment. So, like other languages, and then you can have command there, and so you can put comments on separate lines, which is the way I like to do it. You can also put them after, so anything after the dollar sign is ignored. So tending to put comments afterwards gets them too long sometimes and it gets harder to read. Also, I like to keep my lines to about 80 characters since I'm old school. So you can run that. You don't get any errors when you do that. So try to follow along and see if you can do that. So So you got a command and comments there for your programs. So let's talk about some functions. So functions you've seen before, and the other ones like ln, like the link, int, string, float that we talked about last time, print, all functions. And the functions take arguments. They're inputs to go into the functions that the function works with. And you can have zero or more arguments to a function. So let's see here. Let's do something with print. It's a very before is a function, print, and print. So you can have print there in the middle with no argument given. So, but you always must use the parentheses around what encloses the arguments. So inside the function, this is the arguments to that function. So you got print as a function name, and whatever inside the parentheses are the functions. So print with a blank line with no arguments gives you the blank line between them. But you always must put it in, even if you're not doing it in functions. So let's use some more functions for math. Max, min, and round are mathematical functions. Max gives you the largest value, min the smallest values, and then round would round it off. So let's do print max 1, 2, 3. I figure out how to get to it. And then do min a comma a comma 0. And you see that in my notebook, it automatically does the closed parentheses for you.
Out of curiosity, which are you using, Python 2 or 3?
3. So try to use 3. Okay. See right here, it says Python 3.
Because I just tried on mine, because even if I use 2 or 3 in my Jupyter lab, it doesn't seem to like some parentheses. Like for me, if I were to put print and then parentheses, it prints the parentheses. I don't want to include parentheses. And I've noticed that this is true with some other stuff as well, and I don't know why it, because I always thought so too, that you needed the parentheses, but in my notebook, regardless if I'm using 2 or 3, it does not like the parentheses, which I don't know why. Kind
of problem?
Not that it really matters, but I just thought that was odd.
You know, in Python 2, you would do something like print before, but I'm sure here it ought to give you an error, because that's a Python 2 way to do it. But with Python 3, you always need the parentheses.
Maybe I did do that too. Let me try again.
Do you have a Python 3 up here?
Give me 1 second to try again.
Because even in Python 2, the parentheses work. So they made that backwards compatible. So everybody should just move to Python 3 now, if you know.
Yeah, for me, both. Python 2 and Python 3 don't work.
And I think I'm using Python 3.6, but I'm not sure.
So it must be a notebook thing.
Must be a notebook.
The Jupyter Lab thing.
Do you get the same thing if you put it in a file? Try run the file.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I normally do.
Or does it add the parentheses automatically for you? It's like mine, it does the...
Yeah, I mean, it adds the parentheses, but if I leave the parentheses, then it prints the parentheses.
No one else has that same problem, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Weird.
Well, anyway, for the next time I teach this, I'm working with people at the NCARD. We'll do the, they got a Jupyter hub that they set up that they said they would give me access to. So then everybody can rent it on the same Jupyter Labs. So they installed this Jupyter Labs on a server, and I'm getting access to be able to create accounts and stuff for people. So that's what happens, I guess, when we don't have the same environment. Okay, let's move on. You notice that this is kind of interesting. The min A, B, and 0 still gives out that value of 0. But it evaluates it. That min works on strings as well as numbers. So why is 0 a minimum of them 3? And would this be the same? Anyone want to take a guess at how min is evaluating this? Anybody?
Is it just looking for integers?
No, it's evaluating the strings. So you give min and max a string value. So the max is A. Oh. So it does it by hexadecimal characters. So there's a character string. And so it goes alphabetical. So try min and max of like A, B, and stuff. You can use that. So let's try if we mix them. And mix A and B. I mean, mix a character and a number. So when you have arguments of different types, where you have an integer and a string, it gives you an error. So if you're going to do a meaningful comparison, all your arguments must be of the same type. Okay, so sometimes you have default parameters that you don't see. And then I did that, and I didn't spell that right. Put a D in it. So if we round 3.712, and we round that to off, you get 4, but you're hiding some parameters in here because round 0.712, you can put the number of places you want it rounded to. So if I Oh, round 6.7. All right, there we go. Oops. Well, that's 3 point. That we can put 3.7 if you want to round it to 3.7. So that gives you one decimal place that you're rounding to. So there's an argument after that. So you can have multiple arguments to a function, and some of them are have default values. So it's always good to have some default values. So you got all these commands, right? And so the obvious question then is, well, how do you know how many arguments they have? What do these functions do? So let's use help function and put in round. So you got round, you got number, digits equal none. And so then it gives you the list of parameters here. Round a number to a given precision in decimal digits. So it tells you what it does. Returns an integer if n is an integer, emits or none. And returns a value of the same type. So it tells you some help on the command, and usually enough to for you to remember what it is and what it does. So that's a useful thing for getting help on the commands, and of course you can use help on the other commands that we've done. Any questions? Makes sense. So let's look at some errors. The most general error you get all the time in programming is a syntax error. So let's forgot to close the quote marks around the string. So if I say name equals Dave, and so it automatically puts me the close parentheses, so it gets hard to make the mistake. But if I take and delete it, you get a syntax error. So the file gives you the syntax error because it doesn't understand what the command is. Syntax means that it's the program doesn't understand what you're trying to get it to do. Let's do another error where we say let's put in an extra equal sign in the assignment. Okay, so something like age equals 52. So now we get an error also about not understanding it, and it tells you that there's two equal signs there. So invalid syntax. So if you look closely, you see it even hints at what it doesn't understand to tell you where to look. So the one thing with these syntax errors is that when you program, you test your code. So the big thing is you write very small amounts of code and then test it. So good programmers are the ones that know how to test and when to test. And you don't go through, get an assignment, get some tasks, write everything down, and then start testing it. You test as you go, because you want to fail and fail quickly. So that's about failing quickly. So let's look at another help. You got help here. Let's look at some more error messages. Print. Hello world. And I'll delete that. Run that. And again, it shows you where the error is. Unexpected EOF while parsing. Anyone want to tell me what EOF is?
End of file?
Yep, end of file. So it gives you that it gives you on line one that there's a problem. So right there. So this is going through the IPython interpreter, and the actual 15 right here has to do with the file name indicator that the error occurred on this 15th cell. So this is the cell 15 right here. That's what the 15 is. And then the error occurs right where you have this pointed with an arrow. So no one should be easy to find your mistakes. Without his help, if you can understand the error message. So, demo syntax errors. So they occur before you run the program. So a runtime error is something that occurs when you're running a program. So let's do a runtime error. Age equals 53. So here I'm misspelling age. Okay, and if you run that, you will see that there's an error. So it says error age is AGGE is not defined. So we misspelled it. So it traced back the execution. That's what the trace back here, most recent call. So that's a runtime error. Let's jump back to getting some particular help from Jupyter Notebooks. You can hold down the shift. Let's see if I can do this. Print. Hold down the shift key and press tab. So there you go. Try that. If you do a command like link or and then shift tab, you can get some more help about what the command does, what it returns, the type of the function, and a little bit of help about it. The other way to do it is, I think you can do the command and then put a question mark after it to get some help. Instead of just typing help link and executing that, there's other additional ways to get help in the notebook. So help is a built-in Python command where the other ones are notebook commands that you won't get in normal help. And remember that the notebook is a development environment, and these development environments give you what a functions like that. Isn't that kind of cool? Who thinks that's cool? I think it's nice.
A little bit.
Christian says, yes, good, right?
I love it.
Yes. Built-in help. So we're talking about function. Every function returns something. So every function call returns some result. If the function doesn't have a useful result to return, it usually returns a special value called none. So that's really interesting, right? It returns, always returns something, even if that's none. So, let's try this example. Result equals print example and print result of print is result. Okay, so how do I get to the end? Does anybody know how? Do I tap to the end when I have these parentheses, or do I just return that? I can't return here. And I can't spell my print right. That'd be another shortcut for that. So, result equals print, and then we print the result of print, if I spell my print right, is none. Okay, so here's your first Roto assignment. Everybody can pull up their chat message and chat me the answer. I think you can cheat and get the result, but I want you to explain the order and what's going on with the following command. Let's see if I did this right. Max 2.1, 2.0, plus the minimum. And it's always best to put spaces so you can get things out and separate them so they're easier to read. But see if you can give me a line. Each line, what happens first, second, third. So, you know, on line one, tell me what the first calculation is done. Where in this command is the first thing done, and what is the result? So does anybody know what I mean? Probably not.
Yes, so I guess so. So do we send you the answer in your private chat?
Yeah, private chat that to me. And kind of,
you want an explanation of what happens?
Yeah, so basically the first thing, I'll give you a hint. The first line is you have 1.1 times radians. So the first thing that happens is in here. And then that is equal to 1.1. And then the second line would be, you take that 1.1 answer, right? And then what do you do with it? and what do you get?
Okay, got it.
Until you finally get the right answer, which if you write the command, you could get that. So why don't you work on that? And if you do it to my solution, you got 6 lines. Or 5 lines at the end. All right, try to send me all your lines at one time. Or maybe you can't. I just have to watch the whole message string here.
So do you want the answer, like the result of it running each line?
Sure, you should get the result at the end.
I've sent you my 5 lines.
Yeah.
Is that how you wanted it to be?
Yeah, the problem is Shanko got a different answer than I did. Can you run the code and see what you get?
I know. It was a calculation error.
The alt enter? Oh, there we go. Am I doing this right? Yeah. I guess I gotta do print. So there. It's supposed to get 2.6 at the end. Looks like everybody got 2.6. Okay. Any questions? I think everybody got the answer. And you had to go through the different steps of evaluating it. So, the basic thing is you start from the inside. This is, the multiplication is done first, then the subtraction, then you do the minimum because it's within the parentheses. So remember, multiplication is done before addition and subtraction. And I never write that to have to remember it. I think it's always better to put in your parentheses like that. So, but it's a little redundant, but there's nothing wrong with actually doing that, right? And then you got 2 plus that, and then so you got 2.1 and 2.6, and then the maximum of that is 2.6. Okay. Let's see if you can also send me a chat. And without doing it, send me the outputs of the print statements for these commands. So you have three of them. And if you want to cheat, you could do the actual render commands, but see if you can predict and send me a chat of what the three prints would be. And the idea is that the remember the everything's max min is alphabetical. Okay, does someone want to explain to me okay, the maximum of rich and poor, they're two variables. So then the maximum of that is 10, right? Think of it as getting it. So the print rich and poor is the 10, not the gold. Not just T. So I guess I'll just execute it. So that's the C, 10, and 4. So the maximum of easy string would be C because it's at the end. So the evaluation A, B, and C, right? And in 10, it evaluates the two of them. So TIN is lower than gold or higher. A higher number, T is higher than G. And then the length is 4 because you have the length of both of them, which is 4, and they will be 4. So any questions? Oops. Okay, that's
A quick comment.
Yeah.
So for the easy string ABC, that line, the line print max of easy string, you said the output would be C because C is at the end.
No, C is is a bigger letter than A and B.
Yeah, exactly. So even if you change the order, if you write like CBA or CAB, even then the output would be C. It's basically the one that's highest in order.
I don't think so.
So this would, the output should be also, should also be C. Or A, C, B.
No. It's C. If I change A, C, yeah, and B, that's C is still outputted.
Yeah, so it's not the one that's at the end.
No.
The one that's, that comes after, I mean, comes the last in the alphabetical order.
Yeah. Because it's like the maximum of all of them. And then you can do something too, right? What would this give you?
Capital C?
Yeah, like the capitals are lower values than the lowercase. Okay, I'm trying to do another one here. Let's try this one. Someone want to explain why this throws an error? Because we have rich and poor. Why do we get an error when I take the maximum of this function?
Because they're two different types.
Yes, because length is 4 and 4 is a string. So we did that. Okay. So remember before we talked about print returning something? So what do you think will happen if I do proc max with nothing inside of it? Will that give us a default value?
Will it say none?
Error.
Yeah, would it be an error? How about it? I think it maximum should be infinity, right? But do you know if it's a number that you're trying to take? It will return an error because it expects one argument. So some arguments are required and some are optional. So it gives you an error if you can't fulfill all arguments. Or parameters. Sometimes they're called parameters in the function. Okay. Anybody want to try? Here's an exercise. I have a string called name, and I want a function. Oh, let me say this right. So So I have a string, name equals like David, and I always want to get the last letter of name using a function, no matter what the string is equal to. Anybody come up with a way? So in this case, it's the letter D, but I want to make sure it works the same as if I said name equals Susie. So that way it should return an E. Does anybody have any idea how to do that?
Do you want it chatted to you or sent said out loud?
Okay, go ahead and tell me what to type.
Would it be print name and then in square brackets length of name minus one?
Print length name then minus one, like that.
Not quite. I've like name and then square brackets, like name minus one.
Name, square brackets.
Like you're trying to take a slice of name.
I don't think you need the length in there.
There you go. Like that.
One more parenthesis, but yeah.
I was thinking of using length and print name length name minus one. Number of brackets. So that also works. I should do both of them. Yours was print name just minus one, right?
Yep.
So name is just minus one because you're just indexing the last of it. The other way to do it is take the length of name and subtract one to it, which is a different argument, right? Because in my case, it would be the same as print name of the four. So name is five, subtract one is four, and you get the length of the name of E. But the other way is you do minus one to subtract one from the end of the array. Okay, so we're done for today again. Always takes us an hour to go through this. So we did comments and documentation. Functions have zero more arguments. Sometimes they're required. You got some built-in functions like max, min, round. They may only work on a certain combination of arguments and certain types of arguments. They may have some default values for some of the arguments. And you can use the built-in function help to get some information. Jupyter Notebooks has some convenient ways to get help. And then every function returns something, even if it's called none. Syntax errors when you can't understand the source of a program. And you get runtime errors that you get some issue when you run the program. So you fix syntax error by reading the source code and determining what's wrong. You fix the runtime errors by tracing back the program's execution and finding where the error is. Okay, and I will end there and we'll try to get Greg stuck to him and answer Sean's email. And I recorded it and I will try to post it later on for the lesson. And go from there. Any comments useful? We got next time on Wednesday, we'll do libraries. And I would love to try to get through more than one of these, but I seem to not be able to with that. But now you should all be able to use functions, data types, variables, assignments. We're going to do libraries, reading data frames, and do some prodding. So get to read data and prod the data. So hopefully if by end of this week, we can get through some of the important things. And if you want, join us on Wednesday.
Also, Dave, before I leave,
yes.
Could we set a time to meet sometime in the near future to catch up?
Yeah. John, let me stop my recording.